I want to welcome everyone to Family Times Magazine podcast. My name is Kelly Hart. I am the publisher of Family Times Magazine. And today I have a special guest with me. Her name is Roseanne Fricks, and she is the chief executive officer of the Early Learning Coalition of Marion County. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. It's great to be here.
Very excited to have you here.
Thank you.
So, Roseanne, first tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us some background and how you landed at the Early Learning Coalition.
Well, I landed at the Early Learning Coalition over 18 years ago.
Wow.
And before that, I was always one of those, similar to what you shared with me, Kelly, of wanting to always give back. I just felt that my role, whatever road I was traveling down, was to help others, was to make a positive difference, leave a lasting impact. Mm-hmm. So I worked at United Way of Marion County for a couple years. I worked at what is now Career Source for a couple years. Mm-hmm. I taught at the college level, etc. And this opportunity was presented to me, and here I am, 18 years later.
That's great. I think it's wonderful when our heart is one that is of a community servant. We're an advocate for this community. I love through Family Times, I can be an advocate for your organization.
Yes.
And many others that somehow all seem to work together. As I'm interviewing and doing different podcasts with different organizations, so many of them mention other organizations, and I'm really realizing that it truly takes a community to make everything work, and we work together, and I think that's so awesome. Well, we are glad that you're at the Early Learning Coalition.
Well, thank you.
Because you're certainly helping serve this community. I know that the Early Learning Coalition offers many, many programs that serves families and individuals in this community. So let's go through a few of those.
Sure.
And you can help people understand what exactly they do and how it serves this community. So we'll first talk about the School Readiness Program and VPK.
Okay. The School Readiness Program originates at the federal level. Mm-hmm. So it's part of the CCDF Child Care Development Fund program, and it's been around for a long time. So the majority of the funding for that program starts at the federal level, comes down to Tallahassee at the state level. The state has to put some funds in it, mm-hmm. and then it comes down to the local level. So at the local level, we have a board of directors that assist with not only strengthening partnerships and creating additional awareness and advocacy for early learning, but also ensuring that the needs of the community are met as far as the funding that is available for it.
Mm-hmm.
The whole purpose of school readiness is exactly that, to get children ready for school. We are able to provide care for children up to the age of 13.
Okay.
Not just our little ones. So we have before and after school care there. And it's for families. We have a list of 9 different eligibility priorities. But the majority of the families we serve fall into that income eligible, fall in the cracks, you know, or between the
right.
cracks families that need a little bit of assistance paying for child care as they continue to move forward with gaining financial self-sufficiency.
Right. And studies show that children that get an earlier start and get to touch education and the structure of that sooner have more of a successful future when it comes to education, jobs. I mean, just all around well-rounded, engaged, interactive human beings. So it's very important for families to understand the benefit of early learning and VPK and take advantage of those programs.
Absolutely. And it is a lasting effect. Some
right.
of the research also shows that even later on in life, there's less chance of going to prison. You know, prison beds, the number of prison beds used to be determined by third grade reading levels.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so vital
right.
because their brains are sponges, and it does have a lasting impact. And no matter what environment a child is in, he or she is going to learn.
Right.
So put them in one that's beneficial.
Absolutely. And I love that Family Times Magazine acts as a vehicle for the Early Learning
yes.
Coalition. Inside of each issue, you guys provide us a wonderful editorial piece that I think is of great value to our readers. But what I also love is annually, we do the Early Learning Resource Guide. And I can't tell you how many people will reach out to me and tell me how shocked they are to see that in this small county, which, you know, air quotes, because we're a huge county, but sometimes it still feels small because we're close-knit and it's got that hometown feel, but they are very shocked just how many opportunities there are for early learning and how many schools and providers there are. And so that resource guide is certainly sought after each year and does not
awesome.
Go unnoticed.
Awesome.
Hopefully you're getting the same feedback.
Yes. And we, through the coalition, once a family is eligible for school readiness services, they get to pick the provider of their choice as long as that provider contracts with us. Mm-hmm. So currently, the coalition contracts with 105 child care providers in the county just for school readiness. And we contract with 107 providers for the VPK voluntary pre-kindergarten program. So there are options at all ends and edges of our county for parents to find the spot that meets their needs. And it involves even faith-based family child care homes as well as centers.
That is great.
So options are out there.
Let's talk a little bit about Parents as Teachers. What exactly is that program?
Parents as Teachers is a program that we put on with the assistance of United Way. We partner with them for the big initiative called Success by Six. So Parents as Teachers is a part of Success by Six. Okay. And it's a six-week parent workshop.
Okay.
Right now it's virtual. Once we start our new fiscal year in July, we're going to do a hybrid series where we'll have RSVPs, people will come in person, and we'll also do some virtual sessions. And it's an opportunity for parents to not only socialize, because sometimes parents, especially with little ones, don't have the opportunity of having that socialization, so they see that they are not alone.
Wow.
Each week a topic is presented: nutrition, financial security, educational opportunities, employment opportunities, and a workshop is done on that. And we also have on our YouTube channel, in fact, we have crafts that parents can do with their child, and it goes step by step. And then the parents who participate come to my office and pick up all the materials for that craft.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's really neat.
That is neat. And I'm really especially glad to hear that you all address the issues of parent isolation. The idea of being isolated and not having a support system can almost be so defeating that it's debilitating. Other parents need to know that the failures that you're feeling sometimes are very common.
Yes.
Some of the craziness that we go through is very common. And so to have other support systems where you can reach out and say, you know, I feel that same way. Good. It's not just me. And talk through that is such a great program to have.
Over the years, we've heard from some of the parents who attended some of the workshops that said they created relationships and friendships through that that still last till today.
I think that's
so
great.
We're looking forward to having, to some extent, in-person meetings so parents can have that interaction as well as not just the Zoom.
Yeah, that's very important.
Yes.
So tell us about the 3 T's initiative.
And the 3 T's initiative is the partnership we have through the PNC Bank. So they're a partner with us on this. And it's tune in, talk, and take turns. Again, just providing some parents with some ideas, some suggestions on how to draw that child in. Because research shows that 90% of the brain is developed by the age of 5.
Wow.
90%. So we need to take advantage of that, and we need to tell parents how to do that. Just because I tell them take advantage of it, what does that mean?
Right.
And if this is my first baby, okay, what do I do? You know? So it's an opportunity to again gain some resources, some knowledge, some ideas, some suggestions on how to assist with that child's brain development.
Wow. Are there early learning coalitions inside of every county in the state of Florida?
As you know, we have 67 counties, and there's 30 coalitions throughout the state. We are a part of the Florida statutes, so we are throughout, and some of the coalitions obviously cover more than one county. Ours just covers Marion County.
That's good to know that something like this is happening throughout our state.
Yes.
I think it's great. And because we know that there's some consistency there, I think it's great that you all can reach out to other organizations for ideas and say, how are you guys handling this challenge? What are some things that you're doing that's working, and be able to rely heavily on those other coalitions? I think that's great.
Well, and one of the things that happened this year in Tallahassee through the legislative session is the Office of Early Learning has been integrated a little bit more with the Department of Education. Mm-hmm. And Department of Education, you know, we always heard it was from K through 20. It is now from birth to 20.
Wow.
So you're going to hear that more and more from the state. It just, obviously, the bills, everything just got well, still being signed, but that one has been signed by the governor.
Well, and it makes sense, right? Because yes. if, like you say, our brain is developed at 90% by the time we're five, then those are the critical years that should not be dismissed.
Exactly.
We shouldn't start this thing at five, right? I mean, we need to get started the minute our children are born.
Yes.
And trying to teach them small things, which I think is so great. Talk to us about some of the partnerships that you have through the Early Learning Coalition. I've heard you mention several already, but mm-hmm. as we know, it takes a village. So talk to us about some of your partnerships and how critical they are to the success of your organization.
Sure. I've already mentioned United Way of Marion County with Success by Six and other ones. United Way is also a partner with us with the expansion of our VPK program, which mm-hmm. is voluntary pre-kindergarten. That's just for four-year-olds, and that is a part of a Florida constitution, mm-hmm. and that provides that stepping stone for a child before they get into kindergarten. So VPK is open to all four-year-old children who reside in the state of Florida. That's all you need.
Right.
Every four-year-old, sign up. Take advantage of this opportunity.
Absolutely.
So United Way assists with that. We're trying some out-of-the-box thinking okay. things for next year, so stay tuned. I'll be writing an article for you
Wonderful.
On that. We also partner with various civic organizations. Altruisa International is an awesome partner with us with providing Born Learning Trails, which are opportunities in parks throughout the county for, again, providing parents with ideas. There's a caterpillar with the alphabet, and it says what to do as the child does. There's hopscotch, there's math, there's shapes. It's awesome. So they partner with us on that, as well as Little Free Libraries. You'll see
Yes.
Little Free Libraries throughout the county.
I love those.
You're familiar with
yes,
them?
Yes.
Good. So 100%. We make sure they're stocked and children are encouraged. And during the pandemic, the one in front of my building, cars pulled up every day because it was a safe place for a child to get out, take a book,
sure.
go home, come back a week later, get another book.
Yeah.
So the Little Free Libraries. Kiwanis is a wonderful partner with us, provides funding for pack and plays. Safe sleep environments are not necessarily available to all of our children. Mm-hmm. So we have pack and plays for families or sometimes for grandparents that all of a sudden they have a baby.
Right.
And what do they do? So they're also a wonderful partner. Ocala Electric, of course, a strong community partner for all of us throughout the county. Toyota, we just heard that we received another grant for some more car seats.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So parents will have an opportunity, a very limited number. And when those car seats come in, our community finds out, they're gone. But if there is a need mm-hmm. from a parent for a car seat or a grandparent, they should call my office and talk to Chrissy with the Success by Six program.
Okay.
The Florida Chamber, of course, makes early learning a priority, and the advocacy and awareness and educational opportunities are super. Lots of individuals. We couldn't do it without mm-hmm. people like you that believe in this and that step up and say, hey, let me help, or drop off bags of books to my office and say, here, it's for the kids.
Right.
So we have wonderful partners.
Yeah. Don't we live in an awesome community?
Yes.
It's wonderful to sit here and interview different people who are affiliated with different and very diverse organizations, but the one commonality is that they all say how truly compassionate and giving and wonderful the people in this community are.
Yes.
And I'd like to think that that's somehow just this wonderful, unique thing to Marion County, because I've experienced it in my entire life living here. It's always been so great to be able to throw out, I have a friend who really needs this, or I'm trying right. to organize some type of an event that's going to help the homeless, whatever it might be. And 100% of the time, people just come through.
Yes.
And what's been really interesting is hearing people say that even in the midst of COVID, mm-hmm. when businesses are struggling and families are struggling and people are just really having hardships, the giving has not ceased. And in some cases, the giving has even increased.
Yes.
Because I think people realize how truly blessed they are to be in the position to even continue to help when mm-hmm. so many people aren't and so many people are struggling. I'm just really touched by the people who have even continued to give throughout this pandemic.
Yes, you're right.
Amazing.
And at the beginning of the pandemic, when some of our child care providers would call us and say, you know, they never closed their doors, mm-hmm. as we know, because we had first responders, we had medical personnel, we had, you know, all kinds of people that had to go to work, law right. enforcement, et cetera. And we had providers call us and say, I can't get milk. I can't find milk. I can only buy 1 or 2 gallons of milk. Yep. Please help. And we put out, you know, kind of an all points bulletin. Mm-hmm. We need milk. And people came to our building and said, here. So the community stepped up just wonderfully. Yeah,
it is. Talk to us a little bit about the pandemic and how that created challenges for the Early Learning Coalition.
We, like everybody else, we had to lock our doors. We had to go to 100% remote work. And that was different for our families because some of the families we serve come into our office just to use a computer. They don't have that technology or they don't have internet access where they live. So everything is done online and our doors are still locked to the public, but all of the team is back. So individual needs of parents can be met by talking to one of the team at the office, 369-2315. I don't think I said that before. And setting up an appointment, whether it's to use something, you know, on the computer. Some people don't have a scanner. Most of it is all done on the phone now. You know, you can do everything with their phones. So eligibility can be completed online, but we are able to meet with individuals as need be. And that's like everything else, thank goodness, in our community starting to loosen up a little bit more.
So we are very blessed. We are very blessed to have the freedoms that we do have when so many states right now are still, I feel like they're still kind of at the starting point of trying to figure out what to do to even get the doors open in their school system.
Right.
So for that reason alone, we're very fortunate. And I do know that Marion County received millions of dollars in CARES funding. And I know that that money has trickled down to some municipalities and to nonprofits and even through the CEP to help small businesses and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So the Early Learning Coalition has received some CARES funding. And how can parents get their hands on that to be able to meet their needs?
Right. Yeah, as of the end of February, the coalition had distributed $3.9 million just to Marion County for child care and child care assistance. We were at the point that we were able to pay 100% for child care for anyone in the first responder field. If you were declared an essential worker, you let us know, we paid 100% of your child care. And we were able to do a lot of things for our child care providers to ensure that they were able to keep their doors open.
Right.
They have also been able to apply for and receive grants through the coalition for operating expenses, etc. But we still do have those funds. And I definitely encourage everyone, parents, grandparents, caregivers, to go to our website, which is, of course, www.elc-marion.org. And it's right there under parents. And they can apply online and do an initial screening and see if they would be eligible to receive services.
Do you know off the top of your head what those eligibility requirements are?
It varies by each individual family, based on the size of the family, the income level of the family, parents that may be in school or may be working. Do they need part-time care, full-time care, of course, as well as the child?
Right.
Age of the child, does the child have any unique needs that need to be addressed, that type of thing. So it all works together.
Yeah, I encourage anybody, small business owners, I mean, the money is still out there. The state of emergency continues to get extended and these executive orders continue to roll out. And so the money is definitely there. And I think a lot of people just don't even start the process because they assume I'm probably not going to qualify or it's going to be such a difficult process that in the end, it's not going to be worth it. And I've been really surprised how easy it can be to just show, you know, a little bit of proof of documentation or how your family has been impacted. And then this is forgiven money that you don't have to pay back. And I think that's beautiful because it doesn't become then a challenge or liability down the road for these families.
Exactly.
It's truly help and it's help right now. So I encourage everyone to go to your website and just spend a few minutes to see if you qualify.
Right. And usually the majority of the families that apply absolutely do qualify.
Sure.
And with our staff, because of course, all of those things come into the team and then they're able to follow up. And if they see something on there that doesn't quite make sense, then we pick up and call and say, hey, go through this with me. So let me see if there is a way to ensure that the information is accurate, it's complete, and determine whether or not you are eligible.
Yeah.
And eligibility continues. Once a family's eligible for school readiness, it continues until they are no longer eligible. So every year they have to have eligibility redetermination, but they can continue to receive assistance with child care as long as they are eligible.
That's huge. I mean, just childcare alone is such a huge help. It gives parents an opportunity to go and earn an income and support their family and contribute to the community and contribute to themselves and just feel like an empowered person in their family. Do you have any success stories that you can share with
us? We had the cutest one yesterday, Kelly, and I say it's cute, but it's certainly very meaningful because we do provide childcare for a legal caregiver, and we had a grandma show up at the door.
Okay.
Knock on the door, and of course the team went to the door, and she said, I just want you to all know that you made such a difference and a positive impact in my life. Here's 5 pounds of blueberries I just picked.
Oh,
would
wow.
you please share it with the team? So moments like that is like, oh my goodness. Another success story that we have is a young lady by the name of Brittany, who came to our doors a couple years ago when didn't know what else to do and heard about us, showed up. She at that point was a single mom, and today she's a business owner.
Wow.
She's super about attending various things with me and saying, yes, this is why it makes a difference. The best words that she says about the assistance that she received is that Early Learning Coalition provided her a lifeline, not a lifestyle.
Wow.
And it
That's
was
beautiful.
That bridge for her to get to that next step.
It is.
Awesome.
That is why organizations like yours are so important, because it's like planting a seed. And that's why the resource inside each one of our issues that the Early Learning Coalition mm-hmm. provides to us is called Seeds. Early Learning Grows Here.
That's
because
right.
every single thing that you're doing is planting a seed. And it's beautiful when you get to see it blossom and then come back to you and say, if not for this program, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be here today. Mm-hmm. Or because of one person's encouragement, or because of this one resource, I was able to meet these needs for my family, or I was able to get the education I needed to now become my own business owner, or
right.
go to college
right.
and graduate, or be the first one in their family to graduate. Really, all of them are life-changing.
It makes a huge difference. And the more that the community is aware of it, because at the Early Learning Coalition, I like to say that we're kind of that one-stop shop for parents, because even if it's a need that I don't have,
right.
we have a strong enough relationship, understand collaboration and partnerships in the community that we can direct them. So
sure.
parents with a question about whatever can call us. We're fortunate right now we received a grant to provide parents with basic needs for babies. So it's an awesome diaper bag, and there's bottles, there's wow. thermometers, there's safety kits, there are essential needs for babies in there. And I think we still have a few of those available mm-hmm. if there are new parents that would have that need. We currently have some diapers available for parents. I have wipes, of course, with that. And we did receive additional funding for pack and plays. Car seats are on their way. And we have books. Come by our little free library and pick up a book for a child.
Yeah, absolutely. How can people get involved? How can they help? And what things are you looking for right now that you need specifically?
Sure. We can always use the diapers and the wipes. You know, they are expensive.
Yes.
And that's an absolute necessity.
Yeah.
We're always looking for funding opportunities to assist us, make sure that we do have pack and plays available. We had the hospital call us one time with a mom who was going home and was very concerned because she didn't have a crib or a bassinet or anything for that baby to go to. So she literally came from the hospital to the office to get a pack and play.
Wow.
One of the highest causes of death for infants from birth to one is suffocation from co-sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
So you never want to put a baby in bed with a parent, an
right.
adult. You just don't. So call us. And of course, car seats are a tremendous need, and mm-hmm. we know why we need those.
Yes.
So those are things. And we always look for additional books. So far this year, the coalition has distributed over 17,000 books to children.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Through April. So we've got a couple more months, but we are a big believer children cannot have enough books or too many books. So we're always looking for donations of children's books.
Sure. I think sometimes when we ask, we say, can you give? People always just associate that immediately. They go straight to money.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who don't have the money,
right.
the additional funds to be able to give to organizations.
Right.
So I always encourage people to find other ways to be an advocate for that organization. You may not have the money, but you can certainly maybe share something on Facebook. You don't
sure.
know that that one share lands in front of a person who is in desperate need and that fills their need and puts them on a path towards success.
That's right.
Talk to other people about what's going on in your community. Talk to your colleagues about things. This is one of the reasons why this podcast was so important, was because I wanted listeners to be able to learn so much about the organizations that are right here in their backyard that they're now an advocate when they hear someone say, I need fill in the blank. They'll know about an organization that they can refer and help get that person the help that they're looking for. So it's not always financial. It can be as simple as a conversation.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think that's what's important, is sharing these messages and teaching one another about all of the wonderful things that we have that's available to us. I feel like I'm always learning more and more about organizations, some that I've heard of, but I've never really known what they were because maybe they didn't apply to me directly. Mm-hmm. So I've not taken the time to sit down and ask some questions. And I'm doing that a lot more now, especially now in the midst of a pandemic where so many people need certain things.
Yes.
And if I can help be a resource and connect different people to help them, I feel like I'm serving my purpose as well as you are. How can people get in touch with you? I know you've mentioned the phone number and website, but let's do that again, so people can have a chance to write that down.
Sure. And if I could, one more thing real quick before I do that. We have a program called Help Me Grow, and it's an opportunity for parents to take advantage of a free developmental screening tool, and they can do it on our website.
Okay.
So if a parent says, is my six-year-old supposed to be doing this, or how come he's not doing this? They can go on there and complete an assessment screening, and then we get the results. And the parent can call and talk to us about it, because as we know with children, the sooner that we provide the right resources, and if there is something else that that child should be considered for, the sooner the better for further development for the child.
I think that's great. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I know sometimes we miss things
yes.
or we don't identify it, or maybe we even misidentify it. And so we think we're doing this thing the right way, when really we should be doing this thing, and that could make all the difference. So I think it's great. And I think that it's nice that they can do it privately and from their home. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes parents, you know, we don't want to believe that there could be anything going on with our child, because as perfect parents, clearly we're raising perfect children. But in some cases, there's some things lacking. And if we can identify that right away, we can help them.
And again, all of our resources are free. There's, you know, no charge for anything because of the community and the contributions and the partnerships. Sure. So our website is elc-marion.org. We also have a Facebook page, of course. You can click, go to our website and get all the information. And our phone number is 369-2315. Our operating hours are Monday through Thursday from 7 to 5. So we try to be available for parents beyond working hours. And then on Fridays at 7 to 3:30.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Roseanne, I'm so happy that you were here today.
Well, thank you.
I've learned so much more about the Early Learning Coalition. We love and appreciate the partnership that we have with you all through Family Times. I encourage everyone who picks us up each issue to check out Seeds Early Learning Grows Here feature that is in there every single issue provided by the Early Learning Coalition. It just helps to educate people more and more on what you all are doing and how critical and important early learning is for the success of our children. Thank everyone who has listened today. Please subscribe to us so that you don't miss podcasts just like this in the future. You can find us on Instagram and on Facebook, and wherever you download your podcast, you can also find us there. So Roseanne, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you all for
Enjoyed
listening.
It.
Have a wonderful day.
You too.